Here we go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Judith Tunnell, and tonight joining my sister Denise and I is Kevin James Bennett. How are you, Kevin?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
We're good. Wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing really good. I'm having a fabulous night. I've had a wonderful weekend. Still celebrating a little bit of Cinco de Mayo. Got a margarita in front of me. What's going on with you two?
We are trying to recuperate. I mean, we've been working on a movie that where we've been working at night for the last 2.5 weeks. We've
Ouch.
Had some crazy, crazy hours, but we're trying to maintain. We've been working 6 days a week, so this is our only day off. So I'm happy it happened to fall on the Beauty Talk day.
And you chose to spend it with me. Y'all are
yes.
crazy.
Yes. Well, yeah.
No, I feel you guys.
I've
done those long days. I've done those ridiculous days. It's like you do 16, 18 hours, and you got to be back at 5:30 the next morning. It hurts. It really does.
Yes, it does.
But you know what?
It
builds character.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
it builds something.
I warned you guys, this is not going to be serious. This is going to be fun. It's all about makeup tonight.
Yes, it is. Well, for those who are listening, if you have a question or a comment, you can call 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399, and we'll try to get you on. Kevin, why don't you just update us and let us know what you've been doing since the last time you were on the show.
Oh, geez. We're going to need more than an hour.
I know.
Life has been really, really busy. But the most exciting thing that's happened, a couple of weeks ago, we did the launch party for a set of brushes that I designed for Royal & Langnickel called Our Evolution. 1 year of development and a lot of money, theirs, not mine, was spent in developing them.
I like that.
But, that took a full year to get those brushes up and running, and they are my babies. They're like my children. They were designed for us, and I hate to sound like very separatist, but they were designed for makeup artists. They can be used by consumers, but they were designed for makeup artists. They were designed out of makeup artist angst, actually. And you know what's really funny? Your comment at the top of the show is the reason why they were built. After working a 16-hour day, you walk mm-hmm. into the makeup trailer or the makeup room, and you take your brushes and you dump them in the hair sink, don't you?
Something like that.
And mm-hmm. you wash them, and you put them on the windowsill, and you hope they're dry the next day. And what happens? The ferrules get all chinked
yes.
up. The hairs fall out. The wooden handles get all warped and pop. The heads come off. I mean, they pretty much
yep.
self-destruct, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I got tired of that. So a couple of years ago when I first started doing some work with the guys at Royal & Langnickel, I mean, I don't know if you guys are familiar with it, but they've been making art brushes for like 70 years now. I mean, it's
yeah.
crazy. They do some serious like art brushes. And I said, guys, you know, we're out to dinner one night. I said, guys, I said, I need to ask you something. I can leave an art brush in turpentine for 3 days and nothing happens to it. Why is it that if I put a makeup brush within 5 feet of water, it blows up? And they were like, come on, guys, it's the truth. It's like, really, it's like we can leave these things in paint thinner for days and nothing happens. And you put a makeup brush near even water and it just falls apart. I was furious. I was like, guys, what's going on? And they were like, well, you got to understand, the finest quality makeup brush is equivalent to maybe a medium quality art brush. And I was like, what? See, this information I wasn't aware of, because the thing is, here's where we get into this whole, like, consumer and the whole retail thing. It's like, they don't make brushes really well because they want consumers to run through them and come back and buy more. When you're an artist and you buy fine, you know, tools, those are for your art. So you buy really good tools and they last. Makeup brushes aren't normally built to last. That's the thing. They're built to fall apart sooner or later, some sooner than others. I challenged them, and a year later now, we have these gorgeous new brushes made of DuPont Naturafil, which is an exact replication of natural hair. We don't have the issue of having brushes that don't work well with powder product. I don't know if you guys have tried to, you know, I mean, they've done great with synthetic before, but it hasn't really worked well with powder. I mean, what do you feel about this?
I've had some
issues where, like, the kind of fluffed out tips lay it down, but then when you go to buff it out, it sort of erases it or doesn't put it down. Well, the DuPont Naturafil fibers actually replicate natural hair, or even better. And they lay it down, they blend it out. It is like they are crazy good, and you can't hurt them. You can wash them 5 million times. They always stay soft. They always come back into shape. The ferrules are made of, get this one, this is where I lose my mind. The ferrules are made of titanium-plated solid brass. Titanium, are you listening to me? I got all bougie with my ferrule. It is the lightest, strongest metal known to man. You're not going to corrode these babies for the next millennia. Nothing's going to happen. And the handles are made of high-impact molded acrylic, totally water impervious. You can wash these babies in the sink, rinse them under running water, and not worry about them getting all messed up. You know how we always have to worry about getting water inside the ferrule or too close to the handle? No worries. And we put a rubberized soft touch coating on the outside of them so they feel like really great and comfy in your hands. So these are basically workhorses, and they look damn sexy.
Wow.
So, I'm in love already. You can't wait.
So I got to make sure that the guys at Royal get you guys some of these brushes, because you ladies have to give them the road test, because I've given them the road test. And let me tell you, working on production, they did not fail me, and I am so excited. And the price points The price points are ridiculous, because this is a direct manufacturer. The large powder brush is like $40, and that's before the professional discount, because if you get the professional discount program, it's 40% off of that.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know how they, you know what, I don't ask questions. I was like, how are you doing this? And I'm like, don't worry about it. Kevin's like, I'm not worried. Good, everybody buy them. Have fun.
Right.
You know?
And
so
how many is
like
actually in the set? How many is in the actual set? Because I know it's a lot of them.
I designed 32 different brushes. Actually, I designed 33. The 33rd brush is final. It's been finalized. I did 33 because threes are very important in my life. They always have been. And I didn't want to do 32. I wanted to do 33. But it figures in my life, of course, that the 33rd brush would be the one that gave us the problems.
Nice.
And it wasn't. And it wasn't my. The thing is, guys, I learned so much in the past year about designing and how brushes are made. It's crazy. An eighth of an ounce too much fiber, a 16th of an inch too long on the fiber, it changes the entire character and usability of the brush. It's crazy. I mean, these brushes, I love the guys at Royal. They put up with my, I'm going to try and use the edit button tonight. They put up with my bull stuff for a year, but I kept on saying, no, this is not right, no, this is not right, no, this is, but I mean, the final brushes, there's 32 brushes, but what I did was I made two or three of every type, so every artist could find their brush, because not everybody uses the same brushes for the same things. You might have a blush brush that you love and I don't love. You might have a powder brush that you love and I don't love. That might be your eyeshadow fluff, and it's not mine. There are shapes and sizes for everyone, which is really exciting because, let's face facts, we show up at a gig with like 35, 40, 50 brushes in our roll, right? How many do you reach for? 6 or 8 of the same darn brushes every time, right?
Right. Yep.
So I challenge artists now to look at the 32 or 33 soon, find your 6 or 8 and buy 2 of those, and that's your kit. Done. Or like me, because I'm crazy, I have 3 of each because I always worry because, you know, I have to have. Not often. It's not always I have an assistant to be washing my brushes and dragging my bag like Miss Pat McGrath,
right.
You know.
Exactly. But, you know,
so
I like that. I like that because, you know, in film, you don't have time, like you said, to stop and clean your brushes. You just have to grab one and keep moving. So I like that.
Exactly, because I remember when I was working on Law and Order, there were times when the PAs would be, like, throwing people into the makeup trail and they would forget or something. No, not that they ever forgot. They were all great. They were all, shows up the air. I don't care. I'll talk to her. they would throw somebody to the door and say, we need them in 10 minutes. It's like, okay. Full face makeup in 10 minutes. You don't have time to be worrying about your brushes. You got to just get the job done. And, you know, I spent 9 years working on soaps. In the morning from 7 a.m. until 8:30 when the first group goes down onto set, we had an hour and a half for them to go through rehearsal, get the makeup done, the hair done, and go to wardrobe. All in an hour and a half for the first group in the morning. So you maybe had 20 minutes to do a full-on daytime diva, false eyelashes, everything. You had to be organized. You needed brushes that worked. So I'm, like, very happy, very happy. Listen to me. I'm being so calm about this. I'm ecstatic. These brushes have surpassed. I'm getting the most amazing feedback. We are getting the most amazing feedback. I got some brushes over to Roy Hellard, Meryl Streep's makeup artist, the guy that just won the Oscar. He's in love with them.
Nice.
I mean, it's just like Louis Zakarian at Saturday Night Live is loving them. I mean, all these people, I mean, it's Angelina Avalone, who is like the premier makeup designer for Broadway, is like ecstatic about them. Everybody is giving us such amazing feedback that these are really artist brushes. But the thing is, I love the fact that because they're so durable, you can turn around as a consumer and do what consumers do to brushes, which is not take care of them, and they won't kill it that fast.
Right.
So enough about brushes. What else do y'all want to talk about?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm excited. You know, I could talk about brushes all night, but we'll move on. We'll move on. so, I mean, you've been working on these brushes, but what else? What else have you been doing? I know you've been all over the place. I know you've been to a couple of makeup shows
been
recently.
Doing trade shows, left, right, sideways, doing education all over the place. I hate to say this because I sound boastful and I don't like to be boastful or braggadocious, but I got a little award in Germany.
Oh, nice. Congratulations.
Which is kind of cool. It's like I got something called the Golden Mask, which is excellence in makeup artistry and supporting the industry, and that was in Düsseldorf. I was just there in February, actually in the beginning of March. And it's sort of like I'm a 25-year overnight success. I love this. It's like this past, I'm not joking, the past 12, 18 months have been so superlative, so amazing. The people that have been in and out of my life have been insanely wonderful. The support I've gotten from my colleagues and peers, I mean, it's just like, you know what? It doesn't get better. It's sort of like I wake up in the morning and I pinch myself. I was like, hey, can it get better? It's like it's so good. And I still adore what I do. I adore everything I do. And I don't know if a lot of people could say that about their job, you know? And I think that that's important. And I tell people all the time, it's like sometimes in your life you have to do a job that you don't love because you have to make a living. But it should be something that you at least don't hate. I don't like to hear people bashing what they're doing constantly or being constantly negative or down. And I notice this trend, even in our industry, a lot of people are like, well, blah, 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 this, and blah, blah. And it's all this negativity. I'm like, turn it around. You know, turn it around. You've got to be more positive because you won't attract the work. You won't attract the good things if you're putting all this negativity out. And the thing is, if you're really that disheartened, get out.
Right.
You know, does that sound harsh?
No, that sounds like the truth.
I mean, well, you know me, guys, no edit. So it's like, you know, and the rivalry thing. And I mean, I've been blogging about this lately a lot because it's topical for me because I think it's at a point now where I hold a mirror in front of myself all the time. And I hold that mirror for everyone to see. I tell everyone my flaws. I talk about my screw ups. I'm very open about everything because the thing is, you should not think that you can be an example for other people if they don't understand that you make mistakes also, that you have flaws also, because it's impossible to try to emulate somebody who has no flaws. I mean, come on, really? Everybody screws up. Let's face facts. And the thing is, owning your screw-ups, I mean, failure is my favorite thing in the world because out of failure, you cannot believe the amazing things I've discovered.
Exactly.
I mean, it's like, it's so cool. So, yeah, I mean, I've just been, like, the whole thing about rivalry and, you know, ranting and raving about, you know, all kinds of stuff. It's counterproductive to me. So I get kind of down on people lately. I've sort of been, like, a marauder on the Internet. I think people are aware of it. It's like I get out there and I'm like, okay, 24/7 real. Come on, guys. You want to hear it? Okay, you can complain, but you better have a solution at the other end because I'm not going to listen to you, bitch, unless you tell me how you're going to fix it at the end.
Right. So that brings me to one of our shows that we had recently about social networking etiquette. And I would be interested in knowing what you thought about that. Just etiquette on social networking, like on Twitter and Facebook. What do you think? How do you think we should behave ourselves? I guess
you're asking the beauty biatch about that.
Right.
Yep.
I'm only joking. There is etiquette. I mean, let's face facts. I have fun. I mean, I'm notorious for award shows. I get on Twitter on award shows. I just, like, go through the whole show making comments, talking smack about people's outfits, you know, just like. But the thing is, I say it tongue-in-cheek, and I say it. I never say anything out loud that I would not say to a person's face. That's the most important thing. And this is what people have to understand about the Internet. It's a mask of anonymity. And they think that they could say harsh and rude and cruel things with no consequences, but there are consequences. Because the thing is, you don't hear the tone of a person's voice when they're saying it when you type it. The written word does not have tonality. You can read it as harsh, you can read it as soft. But the thing is, if you would not say that to a person's face, do not type it. Done deal.
Right.
That's it. If you cannot be in a room face-to-face with that person and say the same exact thing with that duck and cover or running in the other direction, then don't say it online. And remember, what you say online stays there forever, so be careful of what you say.
Right. Absolutely.
Is that what you wanted to ask me?
Yep. That's exactly.
Not that I have strong feelings about anything, you know.
But I think those are that's the perfect thing to tell somebody though. There's a lot of people who just get on Twitter or Facebook or wherever they are, particularly Twitter, and they say all kinds of things, making comments about things that they see on TV or in a magazine or whatever. And most of the times, it's people that they don't even know personally. And I just wonder how that looks to them, how everyone else looks at them when they say things like that, when they say things about people, especially maybe it's celebrities or people in the beauty industry that they don't know, but they say make comments about different things, not nice comments. I wonder how it makes them look.
I've said some pretty pointed things in a public forum. But again, as I said, I will always stand by the fact that when I say something, I will say it to your face. It's not like I'm taking a pot shot and, like, I give you the opportunity to come back and tell me I'm wrong. But
I think everybody knows that about you, though. I think they know that, you know, you say exactly what you mean and you can defend it. But, you know, sometimes you see people who, I guess, portray themselves to be one way, but then they, you know, they just go off on social networking about random stuff that's not so nice. And you're like, well, I thought you were this type of person.
Well, you see, that I personally, I mean, and this is going to sound absolutely horrible, I enjoy that because that's like, okay, you just, how do we say this nicely? You just shoved me your ass, so I'm going to stay away from you now. So,
right.
So it's like, you know, when I see that kind of behavior, I'm like, okay, you know what? You just, like, totally went psycho, and you totally said some things that were so inappropriate, which means that you are now on my radar, and I'm going to lay low away from you because you are not predictable at all. And the thing is, people have to understand, too, if you want to work in this industry, I don't understand why people think this industry is big. It is so darn tiny. I mean, my 6 degrees of separation in this business, I can't tell you because I've been in it since, like, dinosaurs roamed the earth. So it's like, you know, it's like I'm continually amazed at the Kevin Bacon effect that I've had with people. It's like, you know, finding out, like, oh, God, you know that person, you know, and I know you through blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you got to be careful, guys. You can't just go off and spew and say stuff. I've seen people, and again, it's like, don't name names. I've seen famous people in our industry open their mouths and do stupid things, and their career went. That was a sound effect. But I mean, their careers went in the poop chute because of the fact that they were not smart enough to keep their mouth shut about stuff. You know what? We all have opinions. You're entitled to your opinion, but the thing is, you've got to weigh it out and think about, how is it going to affect my career if I say this? How is it going to, what is my perception to other people in my industry going to be if I say this? Always think before you open your mouth. And if you're not sure, type it out, sit back for 5 minutes, go back and look again. And if it still looks kind of questionable, don't hit send.
Right. Plain and simple.
It is.
Don't do it.
And the other thing is, and I'm going to say this kindly, vocabulary counts. Do I have to go into that?
No.
I'm genuinely amazed at how sometimes people find ways of rewriting words, and I can, and actually phonetically, I could smell that and go, okay, where are you from?
Right.
Y'all.
Right.
So if you're going to make a point and you're going to have an intelligent conversation, I mean, if you're being funny, yeah, you know what, then be kind of funny. It's like girl, G-U-R-L, and stuff like that. It's like, you know, fun stuff, stupid stuff.
Right.
But if you're going to sit and you're going to have an actual intelligent conversation online, use spell check. Please.
Sure.
Foundation is spelled with an F-O-U-N-D, not an F-O-N-D. And if I hear one more person spell I-M-M-A for I'm going to, I'm gonna, it's like, no, do not do that. I'm being rich. So what else is going on, guys? What else do you want to know about my fabulous, crazy life?
Wow. I'm a gonna. Okay.
I'm a gonna. I'm a said. Nuh-uh. Anyway, actually, I'm still trying to figure out how to spell nuh-uh, because I have southern relatives, so it's like nuh-uh is part of my language, but I can't
right,
spell nuh-uh. I can't spell it, so I don't use it.
Right.
But
I have no
that,
idea how to spell that one.
No.
Well,
just a reminder to those of you who are listening, if you have a question, just push the option to speak to the host. And for those of you maybe online, the call-in number is 914-803-4399. Again, it's 914-803-4399. And I believe we are having problems signing into the chat room.
I am.
Are you, okay, you're still having problems also? Okay, so I just encourage those chat room listeners to either just continue to listen by computer or jump on the phone line. 914-803-4399, again, is the number. What inspires you, Kevin?
What inspires me?
Mm-hmm.
Everything. And that's not a cop-out. It just, it's everything. I'm actually a little bit too closely wired to the surface. I cry at the drop of a hat. I am emotionally a mess. I mean, TV, forget about it. I mean, it's music, everything, art, I mean, landscape. I mean, it's like, please, it's everything. It's, I'm very visual. I'm very, very visual. And I'm very, well, I mean, let's be honest here. It's like, it's a well-known fact. I've got ADHD, so I'm like a minor Rain Man at this point. But I process information very quickly, and I absorb a lot of information. But the thing is, I'm, because of the creative side that I have, it's like I love all this information I'm getting. So it's a little bit overwhelming at times, but it's fabulous because the thing is, it's like this constant evolution. I wish people would spend more time absorbing what's going on around them instead of missing it. There is so much inspiration in everything. And I'm talking about, like, just walking on the street and looking at, like, I don't know, the paint peeling off the side of an old, you know, landmark building. I mean, just architecture, color. I mean, it's crazy how much stuff is in our daily lives that we take for granted that can inspire us to do so many different things that would evoke so many emotions. That's another thing I'm noticing, too. It's like people are getting a little bit kind of shut down emotionally. Which I guess okay for some people. I don't know how it's okay, but I mean, if you're in a creative field, an artistic field as we are, you can't shut down. You've got to be open all the time, you know. And this is where your creativity and your passion for what you do stems from. So it's like you've got to let yourself be vulnerable. You've got to be open. You've got to like just enjoy and absorb. You've got to feel some pain. I mean, out of pain comes, you know, wonderful things also, believe it or not. It's like you've got to feel all the emotions. You can't just, you know, I only want to be happy. It's like, well, yeah, Van Gogh wasn't happy, but look at his freaking art. Jesus. I mean, come on, guys. It's like there's enjoy a full range of emotions. And, yeah, I think that's what else can I say about inspiring? It's like, oh, and other people inspire me. God, other people inspire me. They make me crazy sometimes. I want to be so much like them. There are so many people out there that do amazing things that I'm forever astounded by. I mean, I just saw some, I have to give a shout out to my pal, Roshar. He was just at IBS with us a couple of weekends ago, like last weekend. And he did a presentation on the main stage. And his work is, I mean, it's on a stage in front of hundreds of people. And he's doing knockdown, drag out, avant-garde, freaking gorgeous makeup in an hour.
Right.
And my eye is, like, falling on my head and rolling across the floor. I'm like, what? These people inspire me. It's like, oh, my God, look at what these people do. All the people that I do trade shows with, they get up on the stages and they educate, that are able to do beautiful work and speak and inspire people all at the same time in a compressed amount of time. I adore this. People that educate, people, I mean, it's like I'm getting a little verklempt. That's it to me. It's like I look at other artists, I look at everything around me. There's so much out there. Look online, Jesus, online, really? I mean, press a button in Google and find the world. I need an inspiration for, I want to do a makeup based on grilled cheese. Okay, yeah, let me go look for grilled cheese. I'll find colors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is what inspired. It's stupid. Why did I bring up grilled cheese? I don't know. But then, yeah, that's where I find inspiration everywhere. There's no one particular place.
Wonderful. Well, for those of you who are trying to get in the chat room, I think that you may have a little luck now. I believe my sister was getting ready to say something, and then I have two callers that I want to bring in.
I just wanted to ask really quickly, have you discovered anything new about yourself, or has your career changed since, since the growth of technology? Have you discovered anything new about yourself, and has your career taken a different turn from, I guess, you know, your earlier days as a makeup artist?
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, so much. You can't be out there and be talking all this stuff if you don't have your shiz together. I have a personal problem talking about this, because, and it's not humility, I don't want to sound stupid like that, but the thing is, like, well, people look to me for information, and the thing is, I feel very compelled to be very smart about this and very eloquent and very proactive about it. In the day, back before social media, before all of this transparency, you know, it's like, whatever, you know. Now it's like, this is a responsibility. And those of us that are out there in the public domain, that people are following, that people are listening to, you have to be responsible for everything you say, for all the information you put out there. Because the thing is, you are affecting other people's lives. They don't, it's not that they don't know better, I don't want to say it that way, but the thing is, some people don't. They are taking what you're saying as being the honest-to-God truth. And it's something that they should listen to. It's like, it's a lot of power. It's a lot of responsibility. And the thing is, you need to respect it and do the right thing. That has changed so totally for me in the past year and a half, 2 years. Totally. I am so different as far as how I word things, the information I put out. It's like, you know what? It's got to be right. It's got to be smart. It's got to be stuff that people can use. It's not just throwaways. It's not just like, oh, I really like this pink gloss. It's like, well, why do you like this pink gloss? Well, it's got this ingredient, it lasts this long, blah, 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 blah. It's like, you know what? I need to give more information. I need to be more efficient, more available. And, I mean, that's changed. And, but you want to know something? I love it. I really, really love it, because it forces me to be smarter.
Right. Absolutely.
Did that make sense?
Yes.
It does.
Yeah, I'm dabbling here. You guys got to rein me in. I'm babbling here, so.
It's quite all right.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a call. Let's see. They're from the 708 area code. Let's see here. Hello.
Hey, ladies. Hey, Kevin. This is Viola.
Hey,
hi,
Viola. How you doing?
How you doing? I heard
I'm
the
doing
rest
okay,
home, get
baby.
Off the train. Yeah, that's right. I see you educating all of us on Kevin James Bennett, and I love it. I love it. It's all about embracing it, and you're not being mean, you know, because nowadays everyone is so sensitive now. So I love
mm-hmm.
it, because the way you're teaching is what made me the artist what I am today.
Oh, thank
that
you.
That makes sense because, you know, I was just a little skinny little black girl, you know, 21 years old, and working at Estee Lauder with, like, nine white women. And my counter manager at that time was a white guy, and he told me, don't you bring your little skinny black ass in here. You're cute. So he checked me. And I took that, you know, with my heart, because my father used to say the same thing to me. So I love you for that. So teaching and preaching, because we need it. Even I need it at times, you know, with that reality check.
Oh, Viola, I need it at times too, baby. You know that. I need to be put back in my place. Sometimes I get like,
right.
oh, my God. I get on my, you've seen me, guys. I get on my soapbox, and I'm like, ding, ding, da, 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 da. And I'm like, Kevin, you need to step up and calm down.
Well, let me ask you both. Why do you think so many people are so sensitive now? Why are the artists so sensitive? And when, you know, when you, sometimes they come to you and they ask questions, but then when you give them real, honest answers, they don't want to hear it. Why do you think so many artists are so sensitive now?
Do you really want me to tell you why?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Viola. Go ahead.
Because I really do think they're looking for praises and not to hear the truth. And they're so quick to want to be popular and not really want to work for it. So we're pretty much, we made it easy for them, and they never had to work because, again, that social media is really taken through a curveball into this art. Like Kevin James said by Richard, I mean, I couldn't do a drag eye makeup within an hour. It's the lack of respect what they have for people like Kevin and Rashard and Sam, you ladies. So they so much to want to be fly and fierce.
Gotcha.
Not take a step back and take it in. You know, that's where Kevin came in with their reality check. Just because you standing in someone's presence doesn't make you a celebrity. Pick up artist.
Right.
Oops.
Right.
Oops.
I never, and I was, I wanted to respond so bad, but I was like, oh, I don't have time. Beauty Talk's coming soon. But, yeah, I saw that. You know, some of them want to be the celebrity.
Right.
But you know
they really do.
But you want to know something? And I say this all the time, and I will say it one more time, because, and it's not going to be the last time, trust me. Baby, if you are working for the celebrity, you're the help. You are not the celebrity. As long as you are in their service, you are not the celebrity. I don't even care if you are a uber famous celebrity artist. When you are working on the celebrity and catering to their needs, you are the help, the hired help.
Yeah.
And you need to step back and realize that.
And I don't care how close you are to them and how much fun you all have, you know, outside of work together, and you hang out and you have drinks and you spend the night at each other's houses, you're still the help. And when you're working with them, you're not their friend.
And can I tell you something honestly, guys? This is the part that gets me lately. It's like there's not a lot of loyalty these days. I mean, look at Roy Hubbard. Roy Hubbard's been with Meryl Streep for 37 years since Sophie's Choice. He is the only person in my union who is allowed to do hair and makeup because Miss Streep made sure of that.
Yes.
She kept him for 37 years. Harrison Ford, until his makeup artist died, had the same makeup artist for 25 years. Then I look at makeup artists out there right now, and I look at everybody's resume online, or I look at them, and I'm not going to go into names, but it's like, everybody's done Christina Aguilera. Everybody's done Kim Kardashian. Everybody's done Paris Hilton. Everybody in the free freaking world has worked with Lady Gaga. It's like, really? Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what? It's like, I want to understand how these people have had that many makeup artists. I want to get it. You know, it's like, and the thing is, see, and okay, am I allowed to, like, speak out of turn here for a moment here?
Yeah, go right ahead.
I gotta call this one out. I got to call this one out because it's sticking in my claw and it's annoying me. I mean, Miss Kardashian started with Stephen Molesky. He pretty much took her through the infancy of her stardom. She dropped his butt and picked up Mario, and now she's all over Scott Barnes' book. It's like, really? Come on now, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the lawyer?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it makes me kind of crazy. And the thing is, this is why I say to people, it's like, you're not the celebrity if you work on a celebrity, because they will drop your butt in a heartbeat for the next best thing. So just do your job.
Yep. And enjoy the ride.
Got that on my system. I feel better now.
It's the truth.
It just kills me. It's like, it kills me. It's like, I see these people, it's like, well, I did, blah, blah, blah. It's like, really? Give it a week. because they do not have, there is not the sense of loyalty. I've seen, I have actually watched actors look at other actors and their hair or makeup, and then all of a sudden, if they like what they see, go over to that hair and makeup artist and start talking to them. Because, you know what, they think that person looks better than they do or as good as they do.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, well, I got to use them, too. It's like, well, why don't you just talk to your makeup artist and your hairstylist and have them switch it up and, you know, change it if you want it. No, I'm going to put them in the trash compactor and squeeze them down and recycle them. And we're going to use that person now.
Right.
You know, it's like, it's, and then the other thing that gets in my craw, and I got to say this, guys, it's like the whole celebrity makeup artist moniker, the name, it's questionable. And yes, I use it, but the thing is, the only reason that I use the actual words celebrity makeup artist is because so the people that are hiring me know that I'm safe to leave. I'm safe to leave around celebrities because I've worked with them before.
Right.
On the other hand, you got people calling themselves celebrity makeup artists because they were backstage powdering noses at the Tonys and Grammys.
Right.
You know, no, you're not a celebrity makeup artist because you have not been in a room in close quarters and had to deal with a celebrity and hold your own and be professional. That's when you become a celebrity makeup artist. That's what consider the term celebrity makeup artist to mean, because we've had a lot of discussion online about this. It's like, well, what's a celebrity makeup artist? Someone you can trust with celebrities that will get the job done, keep their mouth shut. That's what a celebrity makeup artist is.
Because a lot of them sit in your chair and tell their personal business to you or the next actor sitting next to them, and all kinds of crazy stuff you have to deal with when you deal with them. And a lot of people I really don't believe would want to deal with.
Well, no, and it's crazy. The thing is, it's like if you want to be a quote-unquote celebrity makeup artist, you've got to be prepared to not let people know who the heck you're working on. This is the other thing that gets me kind of crazy. And I mentioned this today on Facebook. I posted it today. It's like, you know what, guys? You have to actually do the celebrity's makeup to be considered working with them, not just on the same shoot. This is the other thing.
Yep.
People work on a video, people work on whatever. I mean, like I've worked on projects where I've been second unit, where I've worked only on extras. I don't tell people I worked with the leads because I didn't.
Right.
I didn't touch them. You've got to be on it. And the thing is, there's nothing wrong with telling people, it's like, oh, I worked on this music video, and I did the dancers and blah, 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 and it was so exciting. It was such and such's video. It was such a great time. It was so good. It's like, that's totally acceptable. Totally acceptable. You are broadcasting that people liked your work enough to put you to work on that video. Did you work on the celebrity? No. But did you work on the video? Yes. People that just name the celebrity and the video and say, oh, I worked on that. It's like, well, you need to fess up and say what you did. You need to give a deets, baby, because, well, I'm not going to go there. Because,
you know, that right there, that subject alone is a whole entire show by itself. I mean, there are so many artists out there doing that.
It's at the point now where it's not something that is personal to me and bothering me personally. It's hurting the industry. Because the thing is, these celebrities are losing faith in us. They don't trust us. I cannot tell you how many jobs I've gone on in the recent past where I walked in the door and they made me sign an NDR. You guys know what an NDR, non-disclosure agreement. Walking in the door so that I couldn't talk about who I was working on, because people are getting so sensitized, because there are people out there talking about their stuff. Oh, I just blah, 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 blah. You had to see them with that makeup. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, I just did that. Blah, blah. It's like, guys, come on. Professionality. What's going on here? We are now in a situation where we are being wrangled legally just to go in and do our job. That's crazy. That has to stop. So you worked on something. Good, fine. I worked on it. Boom. Done. Don't be talking about what happened on set. Don't be talking about stories about what went wrong and what this person did and what they smelled like and what they ate and blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, don't do it.
Yeah.
That's sort of like the gossip thing. It's like, don't gossip. Don't gossip about the gigs you're on. Because the thing is, you don't know who is sitting there listening to you, and you don't know who's going to say that you said it.
Mm-hmm.
So, not to mention, the thing that people don't get is, you could be on a set. I could be sitting next to somebody on set, working with them, a fellow artist. They could be sitting there dissing up felt, just gossiping up a storm. Do you think I'm going to even say a word to them? Because God knows what they're going to say when my back is turned. These people end up not getting work. So understand, you think you're being cute, you think you're being sarcastic and funny and flip and gossiping, it's not cute. You're not going to get work because of it. Keep your mouth shut and do your job.
Yeah.
That's right.
Was that too strong? Oh, my God, I gotta lighten up. Jeez.
At all.
I gotta lighten up. We only got 15 minutes late. I gotta be happy. Where's the confetti? Where's the sparklers? Let's blow some things up. But, I mean, as you guys can see, I love this industry. I love what I do. I love the people I work with. I want everybody to be their best, and that's why I get a little bit preachy sometimes. I know I sound preachy, but you know what? It's out of love. It's not out of me, like, wagging a finger at people. It's like, no, I want you to succeed. I really do.
Right.
I love this industry, and I don't want people to, like, you know, put their feet in the bear trap, you know? It's like, come on, don't do it. Don't step over there.
Right. I think that's what this industry needs, though. I think we need, you know, that kind of tough love, because it's only going to make us all better and actually help the industry as a whole.
Right. That's what I'm thinking. Like, you know, if you succeed, I succeed. If I succeed, the next one succeeds. And then, you know, like you said, it's only going to make the industry better. And like you said before, you know, some of the celebrities, and not just celebrities, but producers, you know, those who are in hiring positions are looking at us, and they're not looking at us now in a great way. So we have to kind of get that love and respect back.
Definitely.
And I only think that this type of talking to or preaching to only helps. It really only helps.
Well, the other thing is that I find distasteful, and I really do find this distasteful, is the rivalry thing. It's letting people, you know, fall on the knife so you'll get the job and they won't, it's not acceptable. The thing is, and this is something I strongly believe in, karma is supreme. The thing is, if you are doing well, you reach your hand out and you take those that are with you up with you. You do not leave people behind. The thing is, if your career is going well, you elevate those around you. You don't just, for lack of a better word, you don't shiz on people and say, nah, 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 look what I got. No, you don't do that. You just don't. And I it's unfortunate because I see a lot of that in the industry. I see a lot of backbiting lately. And it's been bad before, but I don't know. I guess because of the economy and because, you know, there's so much reality TV now and not as much production. It's like there's not as much work out there, and people are getting really hardcore. And I'm like, guys, if you don't think the producers and directors and all the people that are hiring see you acting this way, you're out of your mind. You're not going to get rehired. You've got to clean your act up. You've got to go on set. You've got to smile. You've got to do your best. And that's the other thing. You've got to go into work and do your best. You can't just dial it in, you know, and you can't. And this is another thing. I say this to all of you that are in a position to hire other people. Hire people that are as good or better than you when you're hiring a team. Do not hire people that are less than you. They are not going to take your job because they're better. They are going to make you look great because they're better. Producers and directors, art directors, photographers, they don't care about who's on your team. They care about who the team leader is and if the work gets done. And if the work gets done brilliantly, they're looking at you. They don't care that the person you hired did a banging job. They know that you are hitting the team and your team was exemplary. That's what you do. You hire people that are amazing. You get a great team together, and you never, ever, ever throw anyone on your team under the bus. It makes you look foolish.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
God, this conversation has gotten so deep. My head is reeling.
I know. Well, look, I have more questions, and I have a couple more callers that I want to get to. But
So the two callers from 313 area and 818, please hold on. Don't hang up. Even if we go overtime, you'll still be on the line. I'm still going to get to you. But, Kevin, what are three things that an artist should have in their kit if they do makeup for television, print, and red carpet?
Okay. They need to have a comprehensive foundation palette. I bought my empty palette for $1.49 at the Container Store, and I have my clean makeup in it. You have to have that. And I'm a great believer in full coverage makeup, like really extreme coverage, because I could sheer it out if I need it. I don't have to carry bottles. I don't have to carry, like, 50 different kinds. I could take my full coverage and make it as sheer or as heavy as I need it. So full coverage foundations, a banging neutral palette of matte eyeshadows. Did I say matte? Yes, I said matte.
Yes.
I don't want to hear, okay, now I'm going to get bitchy. Here's where I get bitchy. I don't want to hear one more makeup artist talking about that damn Urban Decay Naked palette that is not a professional neutral palette. Sorry.
Oh, it isn't. It isn't.
It isn't. It's a bunch of shimmery stuff for consumers. Stop it. Enough. I mean, the Viseart neutral palette, the Krylon Variety Series V3 palette, those palettes are great neutral palettes. You can go to Inglot. You can get all your neutral colors in that. There are so many different ways to do this. Do not be buying, and this is, okay, this is where I'm going to get totally unpopular. I hope nobody from the big companies are listening. Makeup artists, stop buying freaking consumer makeup to do your job. Buy professional makeup. Stop it.
Oh, my God. Say it again.
Stop buying consumer makeup to do your job. Buy professional makeup. Enough with the $59 a bottle Armani Luminous Silk. Are you joking me? I know what's in that bottle. I know how much the bottle costs. And you want to know something? It's probably worth, I'm not going to say it. Shut up, Kevin. Edit. But I'm just saying, though, the thing is, use professional products. Use professional-grade products to do your work. And if somebody questions what's in your kit, I know I hear this a lot from people that do bridal and whatnot, but the bride wants to know, do I have masks? Do I have this? Do I have that? I was like, you know what? If they're more worried about the products in the kit, they're not worried about the artist. So you know what? Turn the job down. Walk away.
Thank you. Yep.
I'm creating more enemies in this industry.
Well, you know, that's a statement that if they're not worried about the artist, then they can find an artist anywhere. They can go to MAC and get MAC makeup and get their bridal makeup done.
Exactly. The thing is, like, if we're going to do a job, I mean, you've got to have the tools to do your job correctly. So, okay, three things. So we've got, like, a banging neutral palette. And I also, I mean, personally, this is something I just love having. I've got a really banging, bright palette of mattes, of matte colors. And, I mean, I mix my mattes with my neutrals and make all my blushes. I mean, you guys have seen that. No jokes about calling me Blenderella. I leave nothing in its original state. It's like I laugh, and I've been on stage, and I have no problem saying this again. I do it on stage all the time. It's like everybody's like, I look in their kit, and like there's 15 different shades of gray, and I'm like, are you joking me? Do you have black? Do you have white? You're a makeup, quote-unquote, artist. Make gray, okay? You don't need 15 grays if you got black and white in your kit. You need two different browns, and then you need reds and other colors and yellows and golds to warm it, to cool it, to do whatever. This is the whole thing. It's like you get gorgeous, perfect neutral tones. You get gorgeous, perfect brights and vivid tones or jewel tones. Those two matte palettes, you can do anything you want to with those two matte palettes. Mix and match, create any color in the universe that you want. And then if you want to, you have a palette of shimmery stuff that you could do all your, like, shimmer and whatever, your shine. Or to carry loose pigments. I'm a big fan of, you know, the OCC Loose Color Concentrate and the Naked Cosmetic Pigments. I love both of them. They're absolutely brilliant. The colors are spot on and dense and pigmented for our work, which I love. You know, it's like they're like lip tars. Okay, let's not even talk about lip tars because I'm just going to start drooling. Yeah, you know, I have my favorite products. I got my favorite products. But, yeah, I mean, a great neutral and a great bright matte palette. Great foundations. I think that's it. And you know what? I use cheap mascara. Sorry, guys. I use CoverGirl Lash Blast or, you know, L'Oreal Voluminous Carbon Black. That's it.
Yep.
Those are my go-to.
One of my favorites.
I'm not picky about that stuff, you know. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff, but those are things you need to start a kid out with. And you know what? It's so easy. I mean, even Ben Nye. Ben Nye has got a beautiful neutral palette for students.
Beautiful.
It's absolutely stunning. Those freaking pans had got like over 3 grams of product in each for the price. I mean, that whole palette is like under $50.
Yep.
And it's beautiful. The Krylon one, 18 colors, under $50. Amazing quality. Not refillable, though. That's the only problem with that one.
Right.
But I love it anyway. It's good. It's good stuff. And the thing is, this is like, you know, it's like steak appetite, burger budget. It's like, it works out. And the thing is, you have your fabulous, you have the core products that you really need to do your work. Because I know everybody loves all the crazy stuff and the glittery stuff and everything, but let's face facts, it's not what you're going to be hired to do most of the time. We're hired to do straight beauty most of the time. You need to have products that do straight beauty work. I mean, I worked on some stuff for a drug company. I can't name it because I had to sign an NDA going in because it's a new product. But we were up against a green screen, and it was all these people talking about blah, 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 drug, which means they had to be normal, conversational people. You want to know something? These are the jobs that get you paid. Doing the IBM stuff, doing the Pfizer stuff, doing the Toyota stuff, doing all these things where there's that person that steps into a car. Somebody does their makeup. You know that. I mean, come on, guys. Doing the covers of fashion magazines sounds really fabulous, but it pays bull poo.
Right.
And you walk away with a tear sheet. Yeah, and that is that paying the rent?
Right.
I mean, I want to do editorials. Like, good, you're going to starve. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do commercials. I want to do... you know what? I want to do catalogs. I love that JCPenney catalog, that Macy's catalog. That pays me a fortune. You know what? Love doing that stuff. They're like, oh, you do catalogs? It's like, hell yeah. You know what? I got money in the bank, and I got a multi-carat diamond sitting in my ear.
Right.
I didn't mean to go there, but I had to. That's my baby. You know, it's like, this is... People, you got to be real about it. It's like, take the jobs that are going to pay you money. And the thing is, people that go poo-poo to bridal makes me insane, ladies. Makes me insane. Do you realize that the bridal industry in this recession has topped out at over $5 billion in 2011?
Oh, I believe it.
$5 billion, not million, billion. Almost $750,000 are spent on beauty services, not products. Beauty services, hair and makeup and nail services spent by brides. $750,000. I want part of that.
Yep.
I want that money.
Yep.
You know, it's like these people that are out there doing, like, I want to do fashion. It's like, I want to do runway. It's like, it's exciting. It's fun. But you know what? I like to eat.
That's right.
Oh, my God, I got 1 minute left, and I got people on hold. Sorry.
I just want to throw this out there really quickly. Just going back to when you were talking about the matte eyeshadow palettes, one thing people have to keep in mind also, if you're working on television and film, you can't use those naked palettes anyway because with the HD cameras, it just won't work.
It doesn't. It's all that shimmery, sparkly stuff. It doesn't look natural. If somebody's got to look like someone's mom,
right.
You know, it's like they can't be wearing, like, shimmery, shiny. It's got to look real.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And like I said, it's like either you go and you get the Krylon one, the Viseart one. My two favorites are the Krylon one and the Viseart natural palettes.
Yeah.
I love those.
Yeah, the Vizyard is my absolute favorite.
The Vizyard is banging. I love it. And you know what I like about the Vizyard? The Vizyard you could use as a blush and a contour also, mixing those colors, because it's got a great rust, a great reddish-brown. Beautiful palette. Beautiful palette.
Yeah,
and it works. And that's the other thing, guys. When you're buying your colors, think global. Please, think global. People don't think global. It's like if you see a color on a makeup station or whatever and you're buying products, check that color and make sure that the pigment levels are globally accurate. If it doesn't have enough pigment, it might look like yellow there, but if you put it on a darkening skin tone, it might come up ashy and white. You got to make sure there's pigment in there, because if things are not globally calibrated, they're going to be worthless in your kit because you're going to be not able to use them on all people. So always check your product to make sure that you have pigment levels that are at the right level to handle global skin tones. Very important.
Right. Because that
absolutely.
I use it on eyebrows. I use it as eyeliner, eyeshadow, blush, everything.
And it's totally worth $70. Totally worth
it.
Yeah, it really is. And for those who work on film, it's great when you're doing period makeup. It's wonderful.
It does. It's got good colors, really good colors.
Mm-hmm. So let's take a quick call from the 313 area code. Let's see here. And for those who are on the phone, thank you for holding. Let's see. I think I'm taking a call.
Hello.
Hello. It's still, hold on. Let me try again. All right, well, let me try. They're still there. It just hasn't let them on yet. Let me try the 818 number. See if we can get them in here.
Oh, can I just give a shout out to Miss Jennifer James, who has been tweeting up a freaking storm. My phone's been like bing, bing, bing.
Yeah, she's tweeting a lot.
I love her.
Your phone's been dinging, huh?
Well, no, it's like you guys can't hear it, but in my earpiece, I can hear my Twitter going off, off, off. It's lovely. I learned it. It's like,
Jen is great with that.
Yeah, she's good for that, but she's a delight anyway, and she's fabulous. And that's one person who I totally align with, as I do with you ladies, as far as we all have the same vision of this industry. It's like, you know, it's all about moving forward. It's all about positive, proactive, helping each other out. It's wonderful to see other people like that have a voice in the industry that is so loud and so powerful, and I respect that totally. I respect what you guys do. I respect what Jen does. There are so many people out there in this industry right now that are just doing such great positive things to get the next generation of artists ready, because that's what I think we're here to do now. It's our turn now to get the next generation prepared. And, you know, it's like, thank you, enablers, but these enabled children have to learn a lesson. So it's great to have people that have a strong voice out there that understand how this business runs. And I thank you guys for getting on this show once a week and bringing this to them. It's amazing, and it's so wonderful that you take the time to do this. I thank you.
Thank you. We thank you and other artists who take the time to join us. You know, it's not easy, but we thank you for coming on and sharing with us. We really appreciate it.
So now, where are our callers? What's going on? Are we done?
Let me see if my sister, can you bring any of them in? Can you get through to them?
I can't even get through to the switchboard. I've been trying the whole time.
Okay, so let me try callers one more time.
You know what happened? This is all karma, because they knew that I had a lot of junk to talk about, so they were like, my karma energy just closed the phone line. Sounds like, nah, we're not talking to other people. I'm saying what I gotta say.
Oh my goodness! Please hold tight. You guys, I'm trying to get you on here. Oh, my goodness. So let's talk products while I'm trying to get somebody on. What's new? What do you like that's new?
Oh, God. you're talking to the product whore. I mean, really? Are you going to be, do we have another 3 hours? I mean, there's so much technology going on out there right now. There's so many things coming. I don't want to even, like, talk about. And that's the other thing. It's like, I don't know if you guys are aware, but I'm doing a lot of product development with a lot of companies. I'm doing a lot of consulting. So there's a lot of really cool stuff on the horizon. Technology is amazing. This is why I tell people, don't buy consumer products. Like, and please, guys, BB creams don't belong in your makeup kit. did I say that? Yes, I did. there's going to be a big old, like, you know, target on my face tomorrow. But it's like, no, guys, really, BB creams, not for the makeup kit. No. If you want one at home, be my guest. The BB creams are not tinted moisturizers, and they don't belong in the makeup kit. I would actually rather talk about trends, because what I'm loving is the whole tonal thing that's coming in
okay.
the fall. Tonality, ombre looks, monochromatics, metallics. I mean, I love all this. I love the metallics. I'm, like, so done with the glitter stuff. I'm sorry. I'm going to plead the fifth on that one if anyone asks me, but it's like I'm not a fan of the glitter. I am a fan of the metal and that beautiful metallic shine, and I love that they're doing it in colors, and I'm sick to death of the smoky eye, so I'm glad that we actually are infusing some color in it. Yes, I said it. I'm sick of the smoky eye.
Yeah.
I'm going to hell for that one, I know. But, you know, it's like, really, guys, come on now. It's been like 6-7 years. Enough.
Right.
Enough. You know, it's like, let's just change it up. And I love what Adele is doing with her makeup, or her makeup artist is doing with her makeup. It's like, it's a nod to the past with a modern twist. It's just really, mm-hmm. really nice. I love the fact that we're embracing color again. I love what's coming in the fall, all these blues and teals and all these other gorgeous colors coming up in the fall. That's something else that I did that you guys are going to see real soon. I took a little side trip to Kiev, Ukraine last fall, and we shot all of the ads for Krylon's makeup ads for the next year. And one of my first ones is going to be showing up real soon for fall 2012. And I'm really excited because I kind of, like, picked my colors, and Pantone just, like, sent out their newsletter, and I was so spot on because it's all teals and blues. So I'm very excited because I didn't screw up and I got it right. So, I mean, it's like I'm so excited about colored makeup. I just am so excited about, like, we're going away from that two Sharpie markers, and it's time to make the donuts around the eyes. It's like all that black. It's like enough. I was joking. It's like, you know, and the whole thing with the black eyeshadow and the black this and the, it's like if you're out at night, it's like staring into two like eyes swimming in an abyss. I mean, you need a little bit of light. You need a little bit of light. We're coming into warm weather now. It's like, you know, break out some color. Break out some beautiful metallic shine. I love the Tango Tangerine. Did you guys hear me squealing across the globe when they said the Tango Tangerine was a Pantone fashion and makeup color for this year? I mean, I lost my mind because orange, I'm like an orange fiend. I love orange. And the fact mm-hmm. that they actually picked this gorgeous reddish tangerine to be a signature color, I love it, and it looks great on like 95% of the population, which is amazing. So, yeah, I mean, I'm loving that colored makeup is coming in. I'm loving that you can do an ombre eye, you can do a tonal eye in all blues and greens and purples and pinks and oranges and yellows. It's just so exciting. And for those that are phobic about color, it's like, just take that one color and maybe, I don't know, do only your lid in that color and then do the rest of your makeup. So by the time you're done, it dampens out that color that you started with, but you get that little hint. So when your eyes are open, nobody really notices when you drop that lid. It's like that little bit of surprise, that little bit of, ooh, you know, it's like, hi, how you doing? And
right.
Can we talk about that thanks to the smoky eye and the nude lip, every woman is totally phobic about wearing color on her lip? Can we discuss this? It's like, come on, guys, really? Oh, it's too much color. It's like, really? Like, you don't have to wear a full-on matte red, but, like, take a little red and rub it in your lips and then throw some gloss over it. I don't care. Just get a little color going. There's so much, I mean, it's just so fresh and so beautiful. I'm tired of this nude look. All these people think, mm-hmm. I want to look natural. You want to know something, honey? After 16, looking natural is not possible without a ton of makeup. So get over it. Would I say that?
Right. Yes, you did. You did.
It's the truth. It's like, I want to look natural. I want to look like I'm not wearing makeup. It's like, well, you better sit in that chair for 3 hours, girl, because you're over 40 and it's going to take a while. And by the way, let's call the surgeon. Sorry. Expectations. It's all about expectations. I'm sorry. These are makeup brushes. They are not scalpels. It's like, you want to look neutral? Fine. You don't want to look natural, because natural is not what you want to look like, because the girls are not going to give you, like, the high five when you meet them for lunch if you look natural. If you look neutral and you know, Victoria Beckham smart, you'll be fine. But throw some color in. Switch it up. I'm not saying
right.
Gaga. I'm not saying be Lady Gaga, but I mean, geez, really, guys? Come on. You know, and none of this Kardashian stuff anymore either. It's like, really? Am I allowed to say that? Do they have hitmen out there that are coming to get me?
No.
No, nobody's coming after you.
I mean, let's say that. It's like everybody that sits in a chair is like, hey, look at that Kim Kardashian. Really? You want to have big boobs and a big butt, huh? I can't do that with makeup. I think we better hang while we're ahead, shouldn't we? Oh, God, I better check. If Jen wrote that, I'm going to be in so much trouble.
Okay. So you said something earlier when you said, you buy your empty containers. That's what you said, from the container store. And then you said you put your clean makeup in them.
Yep.
And I put a little asterisk there because I wanted to come back to that. Please talk about how important it is to have clean makeup, a clean kit, and to just sanitize everything.
Many people who have been in my presence, whether I am on platform or in a classroom situation, have heard my views on sanitation and hygiene. And they know, and I'm going to say this with love, if I ever catch anyone with dirty brushes or blowing on a brush or their kit not clean, I will throw them to the ground and start beating on them. Because you do not show up to work with Kevin James Bennett with a dirty kit or dirty brushes or blowing on stuff. I will cut a bitch. I'm sorry. No, it's the truth. It's like, really, it's like, your kit represents you as a professional. If you open that kit and it's a hot mess and it's dirty, do you think people want you touching their face with that dirty makeup or unclean brushes? I can't even fathom. Sometimes I look at people, they'll come to a class and they'll pull out a kit and I'm like, really? Do you work with that? And they're like, well, yeah. It's like, well, you know what? We're gonna get the alcohol and the baby wipes, and we're gonna clean this up right now because I can't look at this. It's like, oh my God, I'm getting the vapors here. It's the truth. I don't understand how people cannot show up to work. It's the same thing with the way that you look. I've had this discussion a number of times. Like, you have to show up to work every day. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care if you're working on set. I don't care if you only have 4 hours sleep. You take a shower. You comb your hair. You put on clean clothes.
Mm-hmm.
You show up looking like a professional. I spent 9 years keying two soap operas. I had to be on call in the studio at 6:30 every morning, 5 days a week, for 9 years. I was showered, shaved, and dressed neatly every day because that was my job, and people sitting in my chair could have rolled out of bed into the chair without brushing their teeth, but that's okay because their talent, they get to get away with that stuff. I'm standing over people. I can't get away with that stuff. My kid has to be clean. I have to clean. I have to smell good. My breath has to be fresh. I mean, it's like, I don't understand why people don't realize that these are just basic rules. And it kind of, like, makes me a little cranky sometimes. But you know what? That's good, because when I'm cranky, I tell people what the truth is. And so there you go. You asked, and now you got it. So are you sad that you asked? Come on, guys. I mean, really. Let's be honest. If you go on, if you went on, let's say that you hired someone to do your makeup, and they showed up and they opened their kit and it looked like a crack-a-lacky mess, and there was like
they wouldn't do it.
Makeup, and would you let them touch your face?
No.
So
absolutely
why would you,
not.
So I put this out to the makeup artist out there. Why would you present your kit that way to other people? If you would not let them touch you with that mess that's in your box, why would you think that you could show up with that? It's like, clean it up. I clean my kit up. I not only clean my kit up for every job, I repack my kit per job according to
right.
what I'm doing.
Right.
See, this is the other thing. People don't get it. It's like, you know what? You don't have one kit. You have all your makeup in inventory. And then you decide what the job is and what you're going to need for that job, and you repack per job.
Right.
So that you're ready for what you have to do. I feel like I'm scolding people. I have to stop.
No, that's good. Especially when people, it really bothers me when people blow on their brushes. I hate that. Because then sometimes you can accidentally spit on the brush, and then you're going to put that on someone's face.
I tell this story all the time. I was watching TV one night, one of these makeover shows, and this is when, you know, I was still with my ex. He's gone now, which is good. and he was sort of like falling asleep with the dog and on the other couch, and I'm sitting there watching the show, and this person who is doing the makeover is explaining and talking and then blows on the brush and puts it toward the person's eye. I screamed so loud, I woke the dog up, I woke the ex up, scared the daylights out of them, because I was like, oh my God, this person's on air. A makeup artist, a professional makeup artist on air that is blowing on a brush and then putting it in someone's eye. I almost lost my mind. It's like, and this is why people think it's okay. When we get like crazy, when we get people like, okay, here we're going to say it. I'm going to say it. We get shows like Jerseylicious, and I mean, mm-hmm. like, really? You do not need to be emulating that, kids, okay? Not acceptable. That is not what professionals do, okay? You know, it's like, just saying. I'm going to hear from their producers, and they're going to send the hitman.
Right. Okay. So I think I'm able to take a call now. I'll see what happens here. I think. All right.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, can you hear us?
Yes, can you all hear me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we can. Hey.
This is JK. What's going on, guys?
Hey,
oh,
JK.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey. I'm fine. How are you, KJ?
I got a JK and a KJ. I love this.
All right. I'm traveling, lady, so I decided to tune in at the last minute. I'm
well,
on the interstate traveling. Nothing major. I just called in because I was traveling on the interstate, so I may as well be listening to you all while I'm traveling, right?
Right.
Am I safe to listen to while you're driving?
I am driving from, I'm leaving Memphis, headed to Jackson, Tennessee.
I just got to make sure that I'm safe to listen to while you're driving. I don't want you getting into an accident because I'm being stupid.
No, but you are cracking me up. You are cracking me up. The blow on the brushes, and you're going to be somebody down here and me rolling in the car.
I will bring you down. No, you don't understand. It's like people don't understand how horrible that is. It's like, why don't you just
disgusting.
And why don't you just put the brush in your mouth and wet it before you put it in the eyeliner? I mean, really?
Lick your fingers and slap your fingers on their face.
I mean,
it's the same thing.
Well, it's sort of like a mommy spit thing. It's like mommy think that spit cleans the kids okay. It's like, oh no. That might work for mommies and kids, but it does not work in makeup.
And the dirty kids. I saw a kid recently that was so nasty. I was like, oh, for real? Seriously? Are you going, oh, okay. And nobody said anything. So, I mean,
really?
It wasn't anything for me to say. Yeah.
Really?
I saw somebody's kid. Really disgusting. I'll tell Janice and Denise later who was. But, yeah, I saw a kid that was really nasty. And I was just kind of tripping. I wanted to clean it myself. It was so disgusting.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah,
no, this is gonna make you guys laugh. I worked on a gig not recently, but a few years ago, and somebody opened their kid up. It was a union gig, and this person had like Max Factor Pan 6, and like almost the original cases, like from like 100 years ago. And I looked at them.
Oh wow!
What? It's like, is this an archive? This isn't, like, real makeup.
It was a museum kit.
Exactly. It's like, you're donating this, aren't you, right? You're not going to use this on people, are you? And she thought it was totally fine. She's like, it's so good. I was like, oh, my God. I'm sorry. When stuff starts smelling like Crayola crayons, you throw it away. You know that you. I like that you laugh. You guys know that. It's like when your lipstick starts smelling like Crayola crayons, you better throw those things away. It's like it's.
That's really nasty. But a lot of people keep that stuff. They don't want to get rid of it because they have a kid, and they think they have a really full, really nice kid. And you can't tell them that there are things that need to be thrown away. They don't want to hear that.
But you want to know something? This is something that people need to understand. Powder products are pretty impervious. They will last forever. But your liquid products, your cream products, they are basically made with a 3-year shelf life. Now, the thing is, mm-hmm. you have to think about is, 9 out of 10, these things are sitting on a shelf in a warehouse for a year before they got to you.
Right.
So
right.
you've got approximately a year and a half or 2 years of use, plus the fact that they're being open and exposed. And if you don't practice, you know, perfect hygiene and you double dip or something, you're introducing bacteria. I mean, basically cream and liquid products need to be replaced every year. Every 2 years at most. Mascaras, we won't even go there. I mean...
Mm-hmm.
It's like, first of all, you're using disposables all the time, only. And the thing is, as soon as that starts getting a little bit thick or crazy, it goes in the tube. I mean, it gets thrown away.
What is the big deal? What's the big deal with not throwing away mascara? I don't get it. It's not that darn expensive. I don't understand why people get so attached to it.
Well, it is for them because the thing is, like, if you're like sticking yourself, you know, with Lancome and Dior and stuff, it's like, I'm sorry, I don't use $28 mascara on people. I just
don't. I don't either.
I don't use.
I've ever used a really expensive mascara is when I had a consistent client that I worked on a TV show, and she wanted that. That's what she wanted me to use, and then so I bought that more expensive. I think it was like a Lancome mascara, and I used it specifically for her because she used it straight out of the tube.
No problem with that.
I never used it on anybody else.
Have no problem with that.
Other than that, I don't use those.
If talent requests a specific product, that is their product. If they want, if they want $34 Dior Show mascara, they can have it as long as the production manager pays for it. As long as you know, and that's absolutely fine. But the thing is, like. And people get kind of wonky about this. They want to have, like, high-end stuff that they think it makes it. Okay, here we're going to be unpopular again. You guys know how I am about an edited kit. I like a nice, tight, edited, small, little kit because Mm-hmm. I used to be one of those makeup artists that would travel around with 500 tons of stuff in the original packaging, not for any other reason but the fact that I wanted other people to see the names in my kit. It wasn't for my that you got to get away from that. People that use expensive products or leave things in their original packaging because they think that they're proving something to someone, you're only proving one thing. You're going to break your back with that 500-pound kit. Stop it. It's like I don't need 12 colors of NARS multiples in their original tubes. Now, I could shave off part and I could put them in a palette, and I could have 12 colors in a palette. I don't need to be carrying glass bottles of foundation with me. I don't need any of that stuff. The people look at me and they see my little quarter. I mean, I carry quarter-ounce bottles of foundation with me and refill them. People say, quarter-ounce? Oh, my God. That's like, that's an entire quarter of a bottle of foundation. Do you ever go through a quarter of a bottle of foundation in one day?
Never.
So why do you need
right.
more?
Exactly.
So
yeah.
This is I had to reduce mine. I mean, I got called out because I posted a picture at the end of last week of my kit going out for a job, and it had a big, huge hole in it where there was nothing. And people were like, well, you're not ready for everything. I was like, oh, yeah, I am. You don't know what's in here. It's just been removed and put into smaller containers and palletized and containerized and minimized until I don't have to break my back. And you know what? I could have done everything but major special effects out of that kit. And everybody's like, really? I'm like, yeah, really. I don't know.
Yeah. I first saw a palletized kit, like, early 90s. And it was a makeup artist named Coquita Douglas. She's lives in L.A. And I was maybe 2-3 years into doing makeup, and we were working on the Queens of Comedy movie together, and I was like in awe, like, oh my God, how did you do that? And they don't sell those types of things in Tennessee, and how can I buy them, and where can I get them? And it just was a major alleviation of pain, all the crap I was carrying. I didn't realize you could do that, and I know now that all of my stuff is as minimal as possible, that there's still so many girls and guys, who do makeup that don't realize that you can do that. I get people asking me all the time, where do you buy this, and how do you get that, and where do you do this? So they don't have any idea. I had one of my assistants, I made her get some containers, and I told her, if you get some containers, you can come to my house, and I'll fill the containers for you. And so I gave her every color of Makeup Forever foundation that I have. But she had to buy smaller bottles to do it, so she finally did it and brought it to the house. They just don't know that you can do this. Some of it is because they want to carry the major brands and the names and all of that, and some of them just don't know. They don't have any idea.
I mean, I'm laughing now because I was just at the paint store the other day, the art store, and I found this little canvas roll that fits art pencils in it, art pencils, quote unquote. It's this tiny little roll that cost me $6, this canvas roll. It fits 36 pencils in it for $6, and it rolls up to the size of nothing. And when you open it up, it's like, there are all your eye pencils, your lip pencils, all your, I mean, I'm like, I'm so excited about it. I can't wait to like go on a gig and like use it now. I'm like, oh my God, look what I got, for $6. It's so exciting to me because I'm like, you know what, this is what it should be about with the kit. How to maximize the space, how to be more efficient. The thing is, if I have to go rooting through a bag or whatever to find the color pencil I need, when now I've got a case where I unroll it and like they're all sitting there, I just go like, oh, there's that color. Boom. Done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love that. And for what? $6. Really?
Yep.
And people don't think, and like I said, I go to a container store. Like, I got my palettes from my cream foundations. My cream foundations are in palettes that cost me $1.49 each, and they hold 8 colors each in there, and it's a full pan of full-coverage cream makeup that fits in each one of those compartments, and those damn things are, like, tiny. And it's great. They take up no room. I love that. Go source some stuff out. Go to the craft store. go to the Container Store, go to Michael's, go to all these places and find things. Go to the art supply store. Find things and resource them. You don't want to go to, and I know here we get in trouble again, you don't want to go to a cosmetic company to buy your containers because they have, quote-unquote, made it special for you, which means it's 5 times the price. Okay, you know what? I'm sorry, there's a very famous brush container that is fashioned after a lens case. Go to the damn camera store and buy the lens case for a quarter of the price, okay?
Yeah, because it is very expensive.
And that's the way it is. It's like, you know what, guys, source your stuff out. Be inventive, be creative, find ways to get stuff into your kit where it's easy for you to access and easy for you to do your job. It's just, it's smarter that way. And it makes you look more professional. And when people see you being that compact and that efficient and that professional, they're like, wow. And they hire you again because they're like, whoa, this person is like on point. That's what they love. When they see 5 million things flying out of your kit and a whole big mess and everything, they're like, what? When they see you organized and tight and concise and have your stuff together and you open up and you pack back up real quick, they're like, ooh, this person's on point. We're gonna use them a lot. See, people don't realize that how you present yourself at these gigs, even to the point of how your kit is packed, decides whether or not you're getting the next job. You've always got to look, not at the job you're doing right now. You've got to be aware of what you're doing right now. Of course, don't think that you don't pay attention to what you're doing. Please don't be sticking pencils in people's eyes. Not a good idea. Pay attention to what you're doing now, but understand how you present yourself this job is going to determine whether you get the next job or how many connections you make off of this job. Always be aware. How your kit looks, how you look. Again, it's like it's all about presentation. It's all visual. People don't want to stand there and talk to you about, well, what have you done? Let me see your book. It's like, no, they're watching you work. If you're working efficiently, you look clean and neat, your kit looks great, it's like they're going to be like, this person's good. We're going to hire this person again. They don't care what your portfolio says, what your resume says. They know you here and now, and you're doing a good job. That's the best advertising you could ever ask for.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, I couldn't get those two callers in, and I apologize to them. I even tried calling their numbers and bringing them on the line, and I don't know, it's just some kind of technical issue going on here on Blog Talk Radio, so I apologize to them. So maybe next time. You said so many things tonight, I didn't even get a chance to ask other questions, but you know what that means.
I'm sorry, what does that mean?
It means you're coming back sometime soon.
Oh, my God. My God, the first time I was a BTR virgin, then I came back for my second date. And like, you know, it's like now I'm going to have a third date. Wow. I'm so excited.
So now that, now,
you know what happens,
what happens on
the third date, right?
What happens?
Oh, we're not going to go there.
No, we're not going to.
Unless you're easy and it happens on the first date, but I'm sorry.
Right.
We had to end this on a high note, you know that.
Yeah.
We had to have the depths of depravity because I had to bring it into the gutter, didn't you know that?
We love you, we love you, we love you.
Ladies, let me tell you, the Tennell sisters are the bomb diggity, bomb diggity, bomb diggity, bomb, and I have more fun with you guys. I mean, the first time was fabulous. The second time was amazing. This could become, like, you know, an obsession. So you're going to have to be careful. I will have to stalk you.
Uh-oh.
Only joking. I don't do that anymore. You know, restraining orders and whatnot. It's been so cool. It's been so great because it's so nice to be able to hang out and do these kind of shows with people that just, like, you know, that understand that, that are doing what you do, that are asking, like, smart questions and not like, well, what's your favorite color lipstick? I'm sorry. But no, I mean, I really appreciate it. You guys are offering an amazing service that is taking a lot of time out of your lives, and you have busy, busy professional lives, which I totally respect. And you're offering a service to people, which is you're paying it forward, and I love that because that's what I'm all about. So it's like we're very kindred in that spirit, and I adore hanging with you guys. And I thank you so much for asking me back. I'm super ecstatic about coming back a third time, but I guess you're gonna have to recover for a while first, though.
Yeah, we gotta recover. But I hope everyone that listened really enjoyed the conversation. I know they did in the chat room when everyone finally got on, or at least when I finally got on. I saw a lot of people out there. So I thank you guys for joining us in the chat room. I saw Santara and Jen James and Sharon Tina and Tanisha. I think Janelle. I'm trying to go off the top of my head. There's a whole lot of people out there who were on the chat room. Thank you for supporting us tonight. And for always supporting us, I really appreciate it. For those who joined us on the phone, there were several callers on the phone, and I really hate that I couldn't get the other two callers in, but there will be another time, so join us then, and I'll make sure that I'll get you in first thing. So I really appreciate you joining us tonight, and I know we went over time, so we don't want to hold you up any longer. So thank you, and we will let everybody know when you're coming back. But as always, join us again next Sunday at 9 o'clock. Thank you all, and thank you so much, Kevin.
Night, everybody. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Night. You all can join us on our Facebook page, too, for a follow-up chat.
Awesome.
Yep, we'll be over there in 2 seconds. So
okay,
everyone have
bye-bye,
a good night. Good night.
Good night.